God's people, forgiveness of our sin. Our bodies resurrected to everlasting life, to worship, love, and wonder before the throne of Christ. We believe in one true God, Father, Spirit, Son, one church, one faith, one Lord of all, His kingdom come. We believe in one true God, Father, Spirit,
someday we will stand and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." We will shout it, because truly the only Lamb that could truly be sacrificed to blot out all our sin, to wash away all the sins of this world, is the Lamb of God. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, that we can have Him. Thank you that you are willing to give us your only begotten Son. And Lord, that when we look upon the sacrifice that was made, when we look upon the sacrifice that was given of Jesus Christ, Lord, what could we withhold from you that you have given us? But Lord, I pray that we would truly look upon the Lamb and understand that He is worthy. We can do nothing. We can do nothing, Lord, that could separate us from you if we are willing to hide it all under the blood. And let it wash us and make us pure and clean within you. Would we always understand and have the faith, Lord, to turn to you in all these things and to know that the God that we serve is willing and has been willing to give us the greatest sacrifice. We love you, Lord, and we praise you this morning.
Is it on? Oh, there it is. Okay. How are you guys?
Good.
So I was thinking, you know, we've been talking a lot about Thailand these days, right? You guys probably, are you tired of hearing about Thailand? No? You like to hear about Thailand? So I think a lot about the kids that we got to play with and meet when we were in Thailand. We went to a children's home, and there was like 600 kids. Can you imagine that many kids? There was just kids everywhere. So many kids. Some were little, some were like 2, and then some were like 16, so big kids. And every age in between. And I would look at their faces, and I would think, wow, God made you so beautiful, and He has a plan for you, just like He does for each one of you. Right? Did you know you're so special to God that He knew before He even created the world that He wanted to make a JJ and He wanted to make a Zadie just like you, and He wanted to put a dimple in your cheek? Did you know how much He cares for you? He even counts the hairs on your head. And every night, every day, you probably lose a bunch. But there's more hair growing, and He knows exactly how many you have. Do you know how much He cares for us? That's a lot of care. And He cares for all of these kids in this children's home. But one thing that I was thinking is that so many of these children don't have mommies and daddies who tuck them in at night. A lot of them don't even know who their mommies and daddies are. Some of them were just brought to the end of the road, to the gate, and they were set there when they were little babies because their mommies and daddies couldn't take care of them or they were killed. So they have a lot of sadness in their life, huh? To not know their mom and dad or miss them so much. But do you know who they do have? They have God, and they know God, and they have Jesus, and they have so much peace, even though they go through really hard things. I see in their eyes that they have joy and that they have peace because they know Jesus, and they know that He's taking care of them. So when you think about it this week, can you pray for them? They told us, we will pray for you guys before we left. And I said, well, we will pray for you. So maybe we could pray for him right now. What do you think? Is that a good idea? Okay. Dear God, I thank you so much for all the little children of the world. And I thank you how you love us, the big children and little children, how you care about us, how you tell us not to worry. I pray you would help us not to worry, but to trust in you. And I pray for the sweet children at New Vision Children's Home today. And especially the new 16 that came yesterday, who came with broken hearts and broken lives as they've seen so many of their parents being killed. I pray, Jesus, that you would comfort their hearts as only you can. I pray, God, that you would wrap your arms around them when there's no one there to wrap their arms around them. And God, I pray that they would feel your love, know your love, and that they would grow up to love you, to serve you, and to be a light in that land. And God, that many would come to know you through this home. We bless you and we thank you that you're the only one who can comfort our broken hearts. You're the only one who can truly heal us and make us new again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about a little boy in the Bible whose mommy had to let him go too. Do you have any idea who that little boy would be?
Moses.
Yes. Say it again.
Moses.
Good job. That's exactly who I was thinking about. So I was going to read a little bit about Moses. Do you guys remember who Moses was? What do you think one of the coolest things is that Moses did?
Became a king.
Became a king? No. Try again. He was, yeah, he did become a prince. But do you think there's something even cooler that happened in Moses' life? I mean, there was all kinds of things. right? But God talked to him through a burning bush. Can you imagine? Like, that actually happened, right? I mean, cool things. And then God told him what to write, and he wrote on stone. He wrote God wrote the Ten Commandments. But isn't that pretty cool? Like, God spoke to him like a friend. Okay. The Pharaoh of Egypt, who had been so kind to Joseph's family, died after many years, and a cruel king took his place. When this king saw how the Israelites grew and prospered in his land, he placed them in slavery and set them over harsh taskmasters to watch them while they worked. But even this act did not crush the spirit of the Israelites, or Hebrews, as they were called. They continued to prosper and raise healthy families. The Pharaoh of Egypt was so angry at this, he issued an order demanding the death of every male child born to a Hebrew mother. At this time in Egypt, a Hebrew woman gave birth to a healthy son. For 3 months, she ignored the Pharaoh's order and hid the baby safely in her home. When she could hide him no longer, she made a basket out of bulrushes and covered it with pitch to make it float. Then she put her son in it and placed the basket among the reeds along the riverbank. She left her daughter to wait and see what would happen to the child. Man, that would be tough to do that to your precious little baby. But do you think she trusted God? I think she did. I think God told her to do that. After a short time, the Pharaoh's daughter, attended by her servants, came down to the river to bathe. As she came near the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and asked her servant to bring it to her. When she opened the basket, she saw the baby crying. And Pharaoh's daughter took pity on him and told her maidens that she wanted to raise the child as her own. Hearing this, the baby's sister, who was hiding in the reeds, went to Pharaoh's daughter and told her that she knew a Hebrew woman who had lost her own son. She said the woman could nurse the child. What a great idea! Pharaoh's daughter told the girl to bring the woman to her. So the Hebrew girl went home and brought back the baby's own mother, who took the baby and took care of him for a few months. Then the woman returned her to Pharaoh's daughter, who raised him as her own son and called him Moses, which means drawn out of the water. So then the story goes on. But I was thinking about how it must have took so much courage for Moses' mom to put him in the bulrushes. But did God have a plan for Moses' life?
Yeah.
Yes, he had a big plan. One that his mom probably never even could have imagined. Does God have a plan for your life, Sadie?
Do you think God has a plan for you?
He does. He has a really good plan for all of your lives. For Elias, he has a plan that is like you can't even imagine it if you would try to right now. Imagine what his plan is. It's so good. Does that mean that he's going to give you big houses and lots of money?
No.
No.
I have some money in my piggy bank.
Do you? That's so cool. I don't think it means that he's going to give us lots of money. But if we follow him, what does it mean he will give us?
Life.
Heaven. I love that. What else?
Life.
Life. Yes.
Courage.
Courage. Oh, we need lots of courage. Will he give us peace?
Yes.
When we're scared? Will he always be with us?
Yes.
No matter what happens?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that the best news? That he will walk with us every day of our life. And we know that the kiddos, even in Thailand and all around the world, that God cares for them and he loves them too. Let's just remember to pray for them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and remember, you are so loved and so precious. All right, you can go back. Thanks for listening so well.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here. Welcome, want to especially welcome the visitors. Laverne and Ella, thank you for joining us today. And the rest of you that I haven't met, thank you for being here. And I forgot to bring my paper up. Thanks. So, a few announcements for this week. The book study will be at John's house Wednesday evening, this Wednesday evening at 6:30. Anyone that wants to be there is welcome to come. Prayer at 7 o'clock Saturday morning, as usual. And then next Sunday will be Easter Sunday. There's going to be a little bit of a different service. The service will start at 9 o'clock, and then about halfway between, it'll be a shorter service, about halfway in between, there's going to be a light brunch, and there will be no meal served, no lunch served other than that. So it'll be a little bit of a shorter service so that everyone's free to go and be with their families or whatever plans they have for the day. So there will be lunch here today after the service. Everyone's welcome to stay for that. And Ellie will be bringing us the message this morning. So let's just pray for him and also for those of us that are sick. We want to remember them today. So thank you, Lord, for your love to us. And thank you for this time this morning. And I just pray that you would be with each one of us today as we listen and hear your word. Be with Ellie as he shares. And also want to pray for those that are sick, Dave and Ellie's family. I just pray that you would bring strength and healing to them. And just guide and direct us today. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ellie. I just wanted to take this moment to praise the Lord. So often we bring prayer requests to God, and we forget to thank him. Remember the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? He cleansed 10, but only one was restored and made whole. What did he do that restored him? Someone tell me. He was a Samaritan. You remember what he did? They were far off. They were crying out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus cleansed them all from their leprosy. And the 9 went away rejoicing because Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. But one came and drew near to Jesus. And he worshiped him and gave him thanks and praise. And Jesus said something to him that none of the other 9 heard. He said, your faith has made you whole. His arms that were eaten off of leprosy, he had a hand back. Whatever was gone was restored and made whole because he gave thanks. 1 out of 9 gave thanks. And Jesus blessed his faith by restoring him and making him whole. Last Sunday, we had an anointing, a prayer, crying out to God for Leonard because he has this thing in his that they put into his back to deal with his pain and his and numerous other health issues that he has. And he had gotten infection in that. And so he had a doctor's appointment on Tuesday morning. And we asked the Lord, heal the infection, Lord. Jesus still heals. He still does that. Did you know that? He's a healer. He healed him. He went to the doctors. Doctor said, there's no infection. No surgery needed. And the doctors had said, 98% chance we're going to have to cut you open and take that thing back out. I think we deserve to give him praise and glory. I think he deserves that, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You do still heal us. Whether it's in this life or in eternity, you enjoy doing that, making us whole. And I pray for Leonard this morning that you would bless him. I pray that you would bless Leona and their family with your restoring health, spiritual, physically, and in their souls. Their whole body, soul, and spirit would be preserved blameless to the coming of Jesus. So we just want to bless you and thank you, Lord, because you are worthy and you do still heal your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Since where God does heal and everything like that, and it's time to celebrate that healing.
But we can ask God to revive us. So Brother Phil, will you come up and help me sing that? And anybody else can join. Revive us again.
Let's start over.
Yeah.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again.
What will you do if he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? You just prayed it, did you?
Am I on? Well, you have no idea how happy we are to be here. I am anyways. I need the black thing. Is the mic a little bit too loud? Or is just my ears that are not working very well today? And I'm just asking. I don't know. Does this sound good to you? Okay. Well, please forgive me that today I'm not hugging you all. You know, I'm in the last stage of this thing that we got when we came back from the Netherlands, my family and I. And unfortunately, my wife, she's not feeling very well today. And the kids, they're not feeling well either, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened. It's, you know, when you heard the expression that I was sick as a dog. Well, I would say this is like two dogs. I would say like two dogs.
Trade this one out.
Oh, thank
this
you.
One moves.
Okay, thank you. Two dogs, really? Two dogs? A big one and a small one. The small one is a Chihuahua. I'm the Chihuahua, you know, like. Okay, I think we're understanding each other here very well. No, we are very happy, very, very happy to be back. Of course, we have a lot of stories, you know, of our time in the Netherlands. For those that don't know, my wife and I spent the first 2 years of marriage in the Netherlands. So we made really good friends over there, you know, we just wanted to see them again. They're doing great. Of course, we took a few weeks to hang out, went to Greece and Italy. I'm not trying to show off, but it was fun, okay? It was really fun. Well, I would like to make a little parenthesis and just welcome my brother, Laverne Miller. Did I say it right? Laverne and I have been friends for 5 minutes probably. You know, but we like each other already. And I like, one of the things that I like about Laverne, I never told him this before because I just met him, is that he gave his daughters very easy names for me. So I love that. He's the father of Catherine. She left. She knew I was going to say something about her. Bro, I want to tell you that we love your daughter. She's amazing. You know, we see the Spirit of God working in her heart and in her husband. So thank you for being here. We're very happy that you guys are here today. So, all right. Do you remember? It's been a long time, I know. It's been like more than 2 months since I shared with you, I think. And we were going through the book of Colossians. Who remembers that? Thank you. Okay. So I would like to continue with where I paused last time, all right? And just for the sake of that I don't read very fast, I'm going to ask anyone, is anyone wants to volunteer to read Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6 to verse 15? Anyone? Or you want to be voluntold? Because I can do that part too. Now, check this out. If you start, like, trying to hide behind somebody, I can see it. So you better say, like, me. Go for it, Bradley. I can tell you want to do it, Bradley. Go for it. Do you have the mic? Colossians chapter 2. Read from verse 6 all the way till 15. English, please. Not Spanish. English. We speak English. Yes. English, okay. Or Thai. Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't do Thai. Do English. Is it on? The little button needs to be red. Oh, it's red. Is it on? It's not. Just go for it, amigo. Bradley, excuse me, would you mind standing up and just...
Okay, I got you.
Oh, now it's on. Now it's on.
What? Oh, it's yours.
Thank you.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so we walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, bounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the redeemment of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiveness you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of accordance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Thank you, bro. All right. So I would like to let's think about what we know about the Colossians. You know, we know that the church of the Colossians at Colossae. So they're experiencing something that I dare to say very similar to what we live today. There is a lot of stuff going on. You know, there is a bunch of religions. Some people believe that if you hug a tree, it will give you its energy. I don't know. I haven't seen it in the Bible, but if it is in the Bible, then maybe. But okay, people believe that. People believe that you have to do things, that you need to do that, that you have, you know, a bunch of different stuff. You know, and they believe this very strongly. Like, strongly believe things. And that is, this is happening to the brothers and sisters at Colossae. They are just listening, hearing things like, you know what? Yeah, there is Jesus, but there is also this other God or this other religion. Or you know what? If you practice yoga, it doesn't go against the Bible. It's just, you know, some exercises and stuff. But what is the root of that? All right? So it's things or... These are things that not necessarily sound wrong, right? But they are not right. So that's the tricky part. It's very confusing. If somebody told you, you need to kill somebody, you're like, you know that's wrong, right? Right away. That's an easy one. But those details that are just like very close to the truth, and it's like, I don't know. This is what's happening. Okay? And Paul is addressing them in this way. So, I'm going to read the first three verses again. I would like to focus on the eighth one. So, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So, Paul is telling them, if you're getting confused from all these things that you're hearing around or seeing maybe, just go back to the beginning. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, then walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I love the fact that it says rooted and not only built up, right? Because if you built something, I don't know how you know about construction. I don't. I look like a guy that works in construction, but I don't know about construction. Hey, don't laugh. You do know about construction. Okay. I don't know about construction. I don't know nothing. But the one thing that I know is that if you want to make a big building, you need to make a really good foundation. Like go very down. I have no idea how much, depending on how high the building is. All right? He's saying, you've been rooted to Jesus. And in this, then you're being built up on top of this. I hope you didn't mind the joke about construction. It's okay. Nobody laughed. Everybody's like, oh, he said that something. It's okay. Don't worry. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I love the example that Phil just mentioned. But man, there is something about it. I don't know if you remember one time we shared about thanksgiving is an expression of your heart. Right? When your heart is being transformed, man, thank you, Lord. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now, check this out. This is when the music changes and, you know, the whole environment changes. This is a word for you today, and me, of course. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I'm going to leave it right here. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. See to it, or A, be on the alert that nobody makes you a prisoner, okay, of an idea of something that even though it might sound really good, you know, the word philosophy, that's a good word, a big word. Check it out. Watch out that nobody with good words, that something that sounds very truthful or powerful or whatever, makes you a prisoner of this thought, of this line of thinking. Even if it is a good idea or a good intention or it sounds very smart. All right? An empty deceit thinks that the only thing that can do is to stop you or block you, or bother you, or I'm going to say, I don't want to use the word destroy, but something that affects your relationship with God, with the Lord. And then the next part says, according to human traditions. Right? According to what people believe. There are so many things, of course, I don't remember anyone right now, right? Not even one, but there are so many things, at least in Mexico, people believe that, bro, you would be like, how in the world can people believe that? Oh, I got one. When there is a lunar eclipse, is that what you call it, lunar eclipse? So it's moon, but you could call it lunar. We need to talk about English. Is that what you call it? No, but when the moon, is it lunar? It's not mooner. Whatever. I mean, for us, moon is luna, so it makes us say lunar. Oh, man. Anyways, I think we should switch to Spanish. Are we doing Spanish? No? Okay. So when there is a lunar or mooner eclipse, please don't laugh at the Mexicans, okay? A lot of people, oh, man, this is bad. A lot of people in Mexico, even some Christians, they attach a red piece of fabric to their babies. Because they believe that will protect them from the effect of the eclipse and get sickness. There is one in particular, I believe, you know, have you seen some people that have the top lip gets a little bit up? I don't know how you call that. Okay, so I cannot say it. Sorry, it's too complicated. So they believe that will help them not get that when they're babies. Okay? Now, you're probably thinking, man, that's stupid. Okay? But if you grew up listening to this, it becomes real. Right? You believe it, and it's there. Now, the thing is, I mean, the worst part of this is that if somebody at some point actually got some kind of problem with a lip or with whatever because they forgot to put the thing, now it becomes news in the whole country. there's person somewhere for God to do this, and now they... Can you imagine? That becomes even more real. Can you imagine try to unconvince, if that's a word, somebody that believes that? It's very hard, right? So human traditions, things that are supposed to be like that, but not only that. The human traditions according to the elemental spirits of the world. So he's taking this to another level. One thing is the physical part, right? The human part of it. But the other one is the spiritual world, because it does exist. It's in the Bible, so it does exist. The Lord said it, so it does exist, right? Those people that say, no, that doesn't exist, it does exist. My opinion, it's independent, and that's totally different than what the Bible says. This is the truth, this is the Word of God, it does exist. That word, Paul is saying, be careful about those things too, right? Be careful, it does exist. If you start playing with that area, you know, with that, how do you call that, realms of the world, the spiritual world, there is something over there too. Be careful. Right? Be careful if you believe. I mean, it's easy. Catholic people, they believe that they have to do the sign, the cross thing. I mean, no, you don't have to. But they believe that. Do you remember my friend? Many of you met Agustin, my friend from Mexico. He was a Catholic before, you know, the Lord saved him from that. But when I say Catholic, I said every single letter was plural. A Catholic. This guy will carry a cross all day with him in his pocket. He was always with one hand in his pocket because he was robbing the thing. I wonder if that cross disappeared. It was a metal cross. He was always touching it all the time. And it's funny because some people will believe he was crazy for that, right? Because you will see him by himself just talking and then doing the thing. And of course, that looks crazy if you're by yourself talking over there, right, and doing the thing. It looks a little bit crazy. Well, when he became a Christian, he left all that, and now he does the same thing. He prays by himself. He doesn't do the cross anymore, but he prays by himself, and thank God. And of course, people think he's still crazy. He just changed religions, but he's still crazy, so nothing changed about him. Trust me, he's going to heaven now. So he changed a lot. But I say that because he believed that he had to be doing this thing. All right? So, what's the last part? Spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I'm so glad that this verse ends like that. And not according to Christ. So whatever is outside of Christ, careful. It doesn't matter if it looks good. It doesn't matter if it is tradition of your family. It doesn't matter if you think it's good. If it is outside of Christ, it's wrong. Be careful. So I have a question for you. Hey, you're welcome to answer or not. Have you ever being deceived? Have you ever been deceived? Thank you, bro. Yeah, I see some heads. And we all have been deceived. Laverne, we all have been deceived, man. It's a tough one. It is hard to think that I believed a lie, that I lived a lie. It is hard. I heard a excuse me. I was watching some videos, you know, about this particular subject and just studying and trying to understand a little bit more. And I found this quote I loved. I don't know who wrote it, by the way, so apologize for the guy or lady who wrote it. It's easier to deceive someone than convince them that they have been deceived. Let me say that again. It is easier to deceive somebody than to convince this person that they have been deceived. It's a tough one. You see it? I want to give you a few examples that I found, that I read, that I was like, oh my goodness, this is so true. The last one I thought, I'm going to add this one too. Okay? Now, you're welcome to say amen. No, I'm just kidding. In case you were deceived in one of these. It's a couple of them. I'm going to read them fast, quick. I know we could spend a lot of time in each one of them, right, trying to do some reasoning behind it. But just listen to this. Number one. Once you become a Christian, God will solve all your problems. It's not true. God will not solve all your problems. There is a difference between fighting the problems by yourself than facing the problem with God on your side. That's a difference. It doesn't mean that the problem is not there. It means that now you have the one that can do anything and everything on your side. Becoming a Christian means giving up all the fun and following a life of rules. That sounds really sad. Boring people. That's not true. Definitely not. You have Steve here. All Christians are loving, perfect people. I know, I laugh too. I'm like, no way. That's not true. Bad things don't happen to truly godly Christians. Bad things don't happen to truly godly Christians. Is that true? That's not true. There you go. Well, but sometimes if we did not believe that directly, we've heard that and it's like, oh really? Especially when you're starting, when you're learning something. So ministers and missionaries are more spiritual than other believers, than normal people. That is a big lie that I believe, by the way. I believe that at some point in my life. And I can tell you it is not true. It's a big lie. Christian church are always safe places where you can trust everyone. No amends? Okay. Christians should not say anything that might offend feelings of someone else. I don't think so. As a Christian, you should not associate yourself with unbelievers. That is not true. That is not true. Christian should not enjoy any earthly pleasures.
Amen.
Let's pray for our brother here. Don't worry. We're going to unconvince you from that today. That's a good one. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. Okay. Christians should not enjoy any earthly pleasures. That's not true. Christians always feel close to God. Okay, that is a big, big, big lie. That would be amazing. But it's not true. Not all the time you feel like you are, you know, hanging out with the Lord. That's not true. And okay, this is the last one, right? This is the one that I thought, this is going to be a good one. To believe that this church or your church, the church that you attend, talking to you, the church that you attend is the only one church that preaches the truth. And if you do not go attend that church, you are wrong. Or that you are not real Christian or actually saved. I believe that one too. I know. I couldn't see it. I didn't know about it. And funny, if you can say that it's funny thing is that they, at this church that I was attending, they never told us, we are the church, the only church. But they did. By the way they expressed about something else that was not our church. And I don't know, I want to believe that it was not a bad intention in the sense of, oh, I'm going to teach you something wrong so you are living a lie. I don't think that's what the intention. Maybe it was a good intention or a good thought, right, that makes you feel special. So just to make sure, to make clear that you all, that we all understand what's going on here, guys, this church is not the church. Amen. We're not the perfect church. We know it. We know it. But I can tell you one thing. What we want is the truth. What we want is Jesus. And if that, I don't know if you notice this, that every single time we preach about Jesus. Jesus here, Jesus there, Jesus forever. That's what we believe. Now, if you get bored of listening to this, don't worry. You're welcome to go to another church. That's fine. This is what we have been called to do. To preach Jesus. Jesus crucified. Jesus buried. Jesus resurrected. Jesus coming. Everything is about Jesus. All right? But still we know that we are not the only ones that have the truth. We believe there are other churches too. Also, like we believe, unfortunately, there are some churches that are not speaking, teaching the truth. And that is sad. And it's hard. So I want you to be aware of that. Now, is that it? So Eli, are you going to share that we're being deceived and that's it? Of course not. So what should we do? It's so hard. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? Let's go to John really quick. John 14. Hold on. Where is John? I promise you my Bible has John. I've seen it before. I've seen it before. John. Here. John is here. Was hiding. John 14, verse 6. Actually, let me read from verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would have I told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way, and you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? No, a little bit literal, this guy, but that's fine. So Jesus said to him, guys, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So what do we do? Jesus. I told you I was going to preach about Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all those questions, or to all those beliefs, all those things that we have believed, all the things that we have been deceived of. The answer is Jesus. Amen. So, but how do we do it then? Yeah, that sounds like the answer is Jesus. You know how you do it? We study his word. Amen. This is why it's very important, okay, for us to know the word of God. And I challenge you today to even speak up if you hear something from the person that is talking to you here. I know you love Phil. I know you love me. I know you love all the brothers that, you know, get to share. But if we say something that is not here, that it goes against what God has given us, please speak up. Amen. Because you might be saving us from a very bad situation. Yes. You know why? Because the only way that you cannot be deceived is if you knew everything. So if you thought, when I asked if you were deceived, and you thought, no, I've never been deceived. Does that mean that you know everything? Does that mean that you're perfect? I don't. That is why we need to invest in this. And you know me, I'm not talking that you need to be 24/7. It would be amazing if you had the time to do that. Wow. Now, if you spend 24/7 in it, I would say maybe do 24/6 so one day you can exercise what you're learning. Don't you think? Anyway, we're not going to go over there, but I'm just saying, this is the key. The truth is here. The way is here. The life is here. It's Jesus. It's His Word. That's why we need it. That's why we need it. Now, once you know the truth, so, okay, we've been deceived about something, okay? What do we do then? Okay, we go read the Bible. We learn. We listen to the Word of God. God, what are you telling me about this particular subject that is so hard for me because I believe this my whole life? You stand on what's truth. You stand on what's truth, even if it hurts. I know, it's hard. Even if it hurts, you need to stand on what is the truth. And now we're talking about absolute truth, okay? Because nowadays we have people that say, I believe that people from the same, you know, sex can get married. Well, they can, as a function that can be done. But is that right? No, it's not. But you're hurting feelings. It doesn't matter. It's not about your feelings. It's about what is absolute truth. Well, but you know, that is your truth. I consider, no. That is not my truth. I did not come up with the idea. Okay? I was born like 2,000 years later after the one that said that it was wrong, he said it. Many, 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 many years ago. You see it? When the truth is absolute truth, then you can trust it. Then you can follow it. I don't know if you noticed all this. How do you call? Can you call ideologies? Can you say that about all these different lines of thinking? You know that all the things that we have going on right now in society and all that kind of stuff. Check about something very interesting about all those things is that they evolve. They change. Now talking about, I mean, to speak in the streets about homosexuality is normal. Before, no way, nobody said anything. And now homosexuality is turning into something normal for society. Now they're talking about transgenderism. What in the world is that? You see it? It's evolving. Every single time it gets worse. Every single time it just grows like a ball of cancer. You need to kill it. So what do? Have you noticed that the Bible hasn't changed from the very beginning? We have translated it into different languages. Thank God we have it in English and in Spanish too. It hasn't changed. Amen. A bit. And I dare to say, not even for worse or for better, as if it was possible. It has not changed. Even at the very end, it says, hey, if you change something about this book, you better be ready. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that we have been deceived. Even in our Christian relationship with the Lord, we've been deceived about something. But there is hope. Amen. And we are growing. Now, if you see that a brother or a sister has been deceived about something that maybe you haven't, have grace. And pray for them. God will work in each one of us, in our hearts, so we can get out of those ideas and be rooted and planted in Him. You got that, my friend? We all are in the same boat. But we all have the same opportunity with Him. and He loves us. He is the answer. He is our hope. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the truth. I also read another quote that I loved. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I like it. I actually like it. You know, it sounds awesome. And it is true. And it's a mathematical calculation. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That is exactly what we need. We need Jesus and nothing else. We don't need to worry about if my hair goes from left to right or from right to left. Right? This is a very silly example, of course, but you know what I'm saying. We all are coming from our, you know, either family, different traditions, different countries, different states, different cities, different churches, different everything. And we come up, you know, we're a mix over here. Somebody, you're going to love this. Somebody visited, I'm not going to say names just in case, okay? Somebody visited this church one day that I wasn't here, by the way. And then he told me, Lee, can I tell you, please do. You have a very random church. And I'm like, amen, bro. We are very random people.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I told him, and you know what? And we're going to get even more weirder than we are now. Bro, because we want, and the only thing that we want is Jesus and to be transformed by Him. That's all we care. We don't care about anything else. We want to be transformed by His Spirit. Laverne, Ella, you don't know this. I always finish my preachings with this. They already know that I'm going to finish with this. You know why? Because it has no end. Because we're being transformed by His Spirit. And guys, just so you know, if you ever wonder what I pray for you, that's it. I'm sorry. If you are struggling with your business, I hope it goes well. But my prayer for you is that you are being transformed by the Spirit of God. And that tomorrow we can get out of those things that we believe that are wrong. And we can be free in Him. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Even if you're in another state, another city, let's do it together as the body of Christ. Guys, we have the truth. Grab it and don't let go. Because according to the world, we are the weirdos. We are the people that are wrong. Guys, according to the world, there is going to be a point in which we are going to be doing illegal things because we disagree with what they believe is right. This is not a prophecy. Oh, Lee gave us a prophecy. No, it's here. It's in the Bible. It's here. I get excited. But it's exciting what God is doing. It's exciting. I love you. Love you all. I'm really happy to be here. Please forgive me. I think I'm going to leave right away because I don't want to spread the joy that I have right now, you know. Even though I would love to talk to many of you, Laverne, I wish I could spend some time with you and, you know, your wife and your daughters and talking, getting to know each other. But I hope to see you again. I'm glad you guys made it today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you've shown us the way. We thank you, Lord, that you've been patient with us, that even though we were deceived from things, regardless if it was a good, bad intention or not, you're still here. And your grace is still sufficient to cover that and to forgive us and to protect us. And not only that, but to bring us back to the truth. And we know it's you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Thank you for this time with my brothers and sisters. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll see you around. Hopefully, you know, hopefully next Sunday we'll be all here to celebrate with you all. Forgot to say, my wife and my kids send their greetings and love to you all. So, yeah, see you around. Yes. Amen. Thank God.
Testing.
I just wanted to share this word in regards to deception and the danger of it. As the Lord brought that word to my heart, thanks, Brother Lee, for sharing this word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise which he, Jesus, himself made to us, eternal life. Did you know that Jesus promised you, you will not be deceived? He made me that promise. This is the promise. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, stays with you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. This is the promise. John 14, where Eli was reading, verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. Do you see Jesus? You'll never be deceived. The world can't behold him. They're deceived about a gazillion things. But those who behold him and his anointing, which he promised, is in me. Now the truth is not only in here. It's in here. It's in my conscience. It's given to me as a promise by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that anointing that keeps me from being deceived. Isn't that wonderful? That's my greatest comfort, the helper. And in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That's a comfort when it comes to being deceived. For me. And you know, even though, like Elise said, I grew up being deceived about many things, the comfort is that every time I open up my heart to Jesus and to his word, to that anointing, he leads me out of that deception. He opens my eyes to the truth. And when I follow and obey that truth, he sets me free from that deception. That's his promise.
Thank you, Ali, for sharing. I know it was a sermon about deception, but my heart's been encouraged. And it's because I know that we have one that we can trust in. And thank you, Phil, for what you shared as well. I'd like to just add a couple verses or a few verses. James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. And that's one thing I think we can depend on, and Phil mentioned that. We can go to God, and if we look to him, he will show us the way. He promises that he will. Because I know I've been afraid of being deceived, but I just look to God. Will you show me the way? And he always does. And sometimes it might not happen right away, but as we keep seeking him, he does show the way. So thank you for that. All right, that brings the service to a close, or this part of the service. Again, we have lunch. Everyone's welcome to stay and join us for that. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, and thank you for just sharing your heart with us this morning. And I just pray that as we go out and go to our homes and to our work this week and whatever we're doing, that you would be there with us, and we could look to you in all that we do. And thank you for this food. I ask your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen.